Good to see all of you here this morning. We do have some visitors. We want you to know how thankful we are that you're here and you're our honored guest. And if you can stick around a little while afterward, we can get to know you a little bit. That would be great. A couple things before we start this morning. I'd like to thank Randy for the song leading. A few of those songs are new songs that we've been practicing on. If you don't know this, we have every second Sunday night an opportunity to practice new songs that are unfamiliar with this congregation. And if you're sitting there and wondering, I've never heard this song, what is this song? That means you're missing out on some good singing on the second Sunday of every month. And so come join us and participate in that. And a lot of those songs are songs we've been working on, and it's good to see them being led in the actual worship service. And so thank Randy for that song leading. Another thing is we're still looking for some volunteers to help teach the younger class for the next couple quarters. So if you can volunteer or think about it, we have a couple volunteers already, but we're still looking for more to get some other people involved. So if you can do that, come talk to me, and we'll get you in there, and we'll get you all set up, and even have a co-teacher if you want to work with somebody. That's probably a smart idea. And so anyone that wants to volunteer for that is more than welcome to. If you want to turn in your Bibles, you see the verses there on the screen, Luke chapter 2. We're going to read those verses in just a few moments. When I was little growing up in elementary school, we always had this project. It was around first, second grade, and in fact, I might have done it in both grades, but it was learning about the growth process of plants. And we would, have a little seed, and we would go outside, and we would plant the little seed in some soil, and then over the next couple of weeks in our classrooms, we would water it, and we would have to chart the growth, and we would have to measure and see, if plants grew better in sunlight or in shade, or if plants grew better with certain types of soil. And it was a fun little project. And then we got to take our plants home. And my family, we loved starting things, and then finishing things were quite a bit of a problem in my family. So we started a garden with some of these plants that I had planted in class, and we had a little area in our side yard, and we dug out a little patch of dirt, and that was going to be our garden, and boy, we were going to eat the rest of our lives off our garden is what we thought would happen. And if you've ever tried to plant a garden, that's what you think at the beginning. And the first couple of days, you water the plant, it gets plenty of sunlight, it gets everything it needs, and then you start forgetting that your plant is out there, and every couple of days it gets water. And then eventually, like 10 years later, you go back and say, hey, remember that garden we used to have here? And you never got any fruit from the plants that you thought you were going to eat from for the rest of your lives. Many of us have done that in agricultural aspect, and many of us have probably done that with certain flowers or plants around our houses. But what we may not know is many of us are doing that with our spiritual lives. I can look out, and it's easy for us to look out at people and see people that are just flourishing in their spiritual lives. And we see many people, and you might know people like this, where you can just look at them, and you know that that's the kind of person that loves God, that is continually doing what God wants them to do, and they are just flourishing in their spiritual lives. But then you look at the other aspect of that, and it's not hard to also pick out people who have been planted and only continually water themselves as Christians. And yet it's those people that wonder why they're not as strong or why they're not up to par with other people in the church or in their spirituality. And eventually what happens is they just stop watering themselves and they're going to wither away and die. Last week we looked at new beginnings and how each one of us has a new beginning in Jesus Christ. How we can give our lives to Jesus through the waters of baptism. We can have our sins washed away. And we can have a new start or a new life, as Paul describes it in the book of Romans. But what happens afterwards? What happens after you give yourself to Jesus and you've been washed for the forgiveness of your sins? Where do we go from there? And that's what I want to look at this morning. What's the next step? And all of us, no matter how new of a Christian you are, and we do have some newer Christians that are less than a year old in their spirituality, but we also have some Christians that have been Christians for 40, 50, maybe 60 years. And we're all in the same boat. Because what we need to understand is when you stop watering a plant, what's going to happen? It's going to start dying. And it's kind of like what we talked about in Bible class today. If we're not building up, we're tearing down. And we might not be realizing it. And so we all need to ask ourselves, are we continuing in our growth process? I want to look at a story of Jesus today, and I want to note a couple things that I find kind of interesting when we talk about the Lord, and some things that we might not typically think of when we look at a little boy, Jesus. But let's read this story here in Luke chapter 2. We're going to start reading in verse 39. Luke 2, verse 39. It says, "So when they had performed all the things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously.' And he said to them, 'Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?' But they did not understand the statements with which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with men." As we began the reading in verse 39, what had just happened was Jesus was being taken to the temple to be dedicated to the Lord. And so his parents were in Jerusalem, and they were returning to Nazareth. And it says something interesting there. It says in verse 40 that the child was growing. He became strong in spirit, and he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And then later on in his life, his parents were traveling to Jerusalem all over again. This was custom for Jewish men and Jewish families to travel to Jerusalem a couple times a year, three times a year, in fact. But many families couldn't afford to go every time, and so they would just go one time for the Passover feast. And when Jesus was 12, as they were going to start their journey back home to Nazareth, he stayed behind when everyone else was kind of starting the journey back home. And his parents, not that they're bad parents, but just thought maybe he was up with some other relatives or some other friends, because they would travel in packs together as they would all go back to their hometown. And when they got home and they realized that Jesus isn't here, Jesus didn't come home with us, they went back to Jerusalem and they were searching for him, and they found him in the temple. And not just in the temple, but they found him sitting among teachers. And they found him talking to the teachers. And in fact, it says that he was sitting there with the teachers, studying with them, asking questions, answering questions. In verse 47, it says that all who heard him, they were astonished at his understanding and answers. But what strikes me as interesting here is one is a young boy, still in infancy, and then another here at age 12. Twice in this short narrative, we have a reference to Jesus growing. In verse 40, it says this, "And the child grew strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom." And then in verse 52, at the end of the narrative, it says, "Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with men." This is so interesting to me, because when we think of Jesus, we think of him being our Lord and our Savior. We think of a grown man with long brown hair and a long brown beard that travels around from city to city speaking wisdom and truth. But I think sometimes we fail to forget that he was a boy. And he was a normal boy that had to grow. And we see a couple different aspects of his growth. We see that, one, his growth was physical. I think we understand that. But it says that he increased in stature, which could mean that his physical body, but it could also mean his maturity, right? When we grow in stature, we're growing physically, we're growing in our maturity, we become young boys to grown men, and or young ladies, or young girls to grown ladies, and we know that when we grow physically, we get more mature. Jesus had to go through the same growth process, did he not? We see that his growth was spiritual. I find this so interesting because I like to think sometimes Jesus just knew everything. He was the Lord. He was Jesus. But he was a boy. He had to go through the same learnings and the same teachings that other people had to do. It says that he grew and became strong in spirit. There was a growth process there that had to, he was spiritually growing just like we have to grow as well. Now, he had some insights we didn't have. Being the Son of God, but he still had to grow spiritually. We see he had to grow mentally as well. It says that he was being filled with wisdom in verse 40. And in verse 52, it says Jesus increased in wisdom, which means he also had to exercise his mental capability in understanding the Scriptures, in learning the Scriptures, becoming more spiritual. But this is what is interesting, that his growth was God-given. Again, twice in both of these sections, in verse 40 and in verse 52, it mentions that God was with him during his growth process. In verse 40, it says the grace of God was upon him. And in verse 52, it says he increased in favor with God and with men. Jesus was on a mission sent from God. You know, I preach over and over again, and I don't want this to get old, but I keep saying this to realize that Jesus was just like us in many ways, that he never asked us to do anything he wasn't willing to do himself. And we are on a God-sent mission in this world. We are on a mission to seek and save the lost, to teach other people, to be forgiven of our sins. We are on the same mission that Jesus was on. And if Jesus was expected to grow physically and spiritually and mentally, and God was with him, don't you think that we can grow just as spiritual and just as mental, and God is with us as well? And that Jesus expects us to do the same things that he did and to continue to grow in the faith? I mean, we can give every excuse in the book and say, well, Jesus was the Son of God. He just knew all this stuff. Jesus didn't need any special help. Jesus didn't need to grow. But he did. And if Jesus had to, how much more do we have to grow spiritually and mentally as well? I want to look at a few things on what I can see from this narrative that helped Jesus grow and helped him along the way. And hopefully you and I can take some of these things and we can start applying them so that we can continue our growth process as well. And again, it doesn't matter how young of a Christian you are or how old of a Christian you are. We can all continue our growth process. Let's look at a few things that helped Jesus in his growth process. The first thing I want to notice is Jesus was very active in study. You know, Jesus, we sing a song, Jesus, he could have called 10,000 angels, right? I think I can also make the argument that he could have memorized the whole Scriptures without even reading anything. I mean, didn't he help write them? Right? He is God, correct? And so he could have just come and known everything. But I think he was setting the precedent. He was setting an example that he was very active in his studies. He was very active in what he read. He was constantly in the temple and in synagogues reading Scriptures. In verse 46, we read that they found him with the teachers, and he was asking questions, and he was answering questions. I mean, he wanted to get a better understanding of what these people thought about the Scriptures. He was being very active in his studies and in his worship. And you can tell that's where he wanted to be. He wanted to be in the temple with other people studying what God's Word had to say. He wanted to grow spiritually. He wanted these things in his life. We never feel or see any distress coming from Jesus when he realized his parents left him. Do you find that odd? I remember being at Disneyland one time growing up and just hearing a blood-curdling scream. And it was a little boy who realized his parents were gone. And it had only been about 5 seconds of realizing this, and he was just screaming because he needed to know where his parents were. And he was probably about 10. And here Jesus is 12 years old, his parents were gone for days, and there's no panic in his voice. He wasn't running around the city saying, have you seen my parents? Have you seen? Can someone help me? I mean, he just went to the temple and he sat there, and he wanted to be there studying with God's people and studying God's Word. I just think that's so fascinating. That he was studying, he was learning, he was gaining in knowledge, and that's what he wanted to do. I often wonder if we have that same passion that Jesus had at age 12. I'm 26, and I sometimes feel like I don't have the passion that Jesus had at 12. And we need to ask ourselves, are we seeking out our teachers and elders and wanting to study? Because a 12-year-old Jesus did. And if a 12-year-old Jesus can, guess what? A 26-year-old man can, and so can a 40-year-old or however old you know you are. If someone at 12 is asking questions and wanting to study God's Word, we should want to as well. Are we picking our teachers' brains in Bible classes? Are we asking questions in Bible classes, taking advantage of the people that have studied and that know the Scriptures so that we can learn as well? Are we coming to every service? Jesus wanted to be with God's people. Do you want to be with God's people? Do you want to be at services? Sometimes we come just because we have to. Because we're told to. Because we know that if we don't, we'll be looked down on. But Jesus wanted to be with God's people in the temple. That's where he felt like he belonged. And then, are we active? Are we active in studies with friends and with family members? That doesn't necessarily mean that we're sitting down and we have to teach a class with our friends and family members, but are we talking about God in our homes and with our friends? Are we telling other people about Jesus and about God and about His Word? Are we passionate about God's Word? And are we growing in spirit, constantly growing in spirit? You know, sometimes with children, we think they're just that, children. And so we don't put any expectations on children because they're too young. They wouldn't understand. Jesus is 12 years old. And people were so amazed by his knowledge at 12 years old that they were astonished that he would know and understand the Scriptures the way he understood them. And we could play that up to, well, he's the Son of God, he should know them, but he's 12 years old. A note to the parents. Your kids are more capable of doing things than maybe we understand. Our kids are capable of doing great and extraordinary things. I see a lot of kids at this congregation. Do we have expectations for them? Do we have expectations that they should want to study God's Word and that they can study God's Word? Or do we sometimes say, well, they're a little young for God's Word right now? You know, they memorize different songs. They memorize things for tests. They memorize things for school. Especially as they grow into teens, they memorize things to get a driver's license. They'll memorize plays in football or basketball or soccer. They'll memorize whole pieces of music for band. But yet something about God's Word is a little hard for young people. Jesus wanted to better himself at 12 years old. What are we doing to better ourselves? What are we doing to better this congregation? Are we willing to do what it takes to make this the best congregation or to make myself the best Christian that I know I can be? Are we trying to continually grow in spirit and in wisdom, and in favor with God? Parents will tell immature children, it's time to grow up. My dad's told that to me plenty of times. It's time to grow up. You know better. It's time to grow up. I can almost just hear God telling us, it's time to grow up. Because in the Hebrew letter, the writer tells his readers that they are in need of meat, but instead they're still drinking milk. In other words, he's saying, grow up. You are more capable of doing extraordinary things than you think you are. That where you should be eating the meat of the Word, you're still dwelling in the milk of the Word. And a lot of people don't want to change because people are afraid of change. They're afraid to step out of their comfort zone. They're afraid their kids might be mad at them if they push certain things that their kids might not want. A lot of people want to change, but when the rubber hits the road, they get scared off. But it's time that we take God's advice and we grow up. It's time we continue to grow in the Lord. It's time to take this congregation to the next level. It's time to take our own spirituality to the next level, because we are more capable of doing extraordinary things for God than we think. And if Jesus, at 12 years old, can sit among teachers that had devoted their lives to studying God's Word, then what can we do as people who are older than 12? You know, I sat this weekend. I was able to sit this weekend with 30 other preachers from around the country up in Dublin. And I was one of the youngest ones there. And I sat with people, and some of you may know some of these names. Well, you know Brooks Dab Mike. And I sat with preachers like Ed Sanderson, who's about an hour and a half up the road in Vacaville, and Brent Willie down in Morro Bay area. And there's some old preachers there that have devoted their lives to preaching the gospel. And there was a moment, I came home after the Thursday sessions of all these classes, and I told Brooke, I said, sometimes I just feel like, what am I doing sitting with some of these people? Because they are so knowledgeable. They're spiritual giants. They know so much. There were some times where they were talking and I'm sitting there like, what? I can't write this down fast enough because I don't know what you're talking about and I want to know more. Or they're pulling out applications that I never thought of in the scriptures. And I'm just sitting there, my jaw open, and I'm just soaking it all in. And I could have done one of two things. I could have said, you know what? I'll never be at the level of these people. And so let me just go ahead and give up now, because I'll never be there. Or I can leave and say, I've got a lot of work to do. And maybe by the time I'm their age, maybe by the time I've been preaching for 30 or 40 years, some young preacher will look at me and say, what is he talking about? But see, that's the point. A lot of people, when they look at the world around them, when they look at Christians around them, they don't want to change, or they feel like the change is out of reach, and so they just give up, and they don't grow, and they die. But it's time that we listen to God's advice and we grow up. We put in the work now. It doesn't matter how old or how young we are, but when we get to the end of life's journey, we can look back and say, I continually grew the entire time. The second thing we notice about Jesus on what I think helped him with his growth was he was constantly about his Father's business. I mean, he even said that to his mom. His mom came in worried. I can only imagine what his mom was feeling. She must have just been a nervous wreck. And she comes in and saying, do you know what you've done to your father and I? We've been looking for you forever. And he says, did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? He didn't try to apologize. He didn't say, I'm sorry I didn't tell you. I'm sorry I stayed behind when I knew you went back. He just said, didn't you know that I have to be about my Father's business? I mean, you can almost hear him speaking to Mary, because Mary did know. Mary obviously spoke to an angel about who this her son would be. And he said, this is what I'm here to do, Mom. I'm here to be about my Father's business. Christ often used the word must. He said, I must preach in Luke chapter 4. He said, the Son of Man must suffer in Luke chapter 9. The Son of Man must be lifted up in John chapter 3. And even at the age of 12, Jesus was moved by his divine compulsion to do the Father's will. There was no doubt in his mind what he had to do. He must do his Father's will. He must be about his Father's business. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There was no question on what his purpose was in life. He must do what the Father wanted him to do. Because of that, he was constantly involved with furthering the work of the kingdom. Jesus was growing daily because he was continually doing what God wanted him to do. I wonder how many of us, and I think about this for myself sometimes, is the will of God something I feel like I have to do? Or is it something that I just do because maybe it's expected or I have time to do it? You see the difference there? Jesus felt compelled to do the Father's business. That's what he wanted to do. He said, I must do this. This is who I am. It's what I'm here for. He didn't say, well, while I'm here on earth and I'm mingling with these other people and I'm talking to sinners, well, I guess while I'm here, I'll do my Father's business. He says, this is why I'm here. and I'm not going to let anything distract me from doing the Father's business. Our new theme this year is focus on the family. Are we constantly thinking of our family and saying, this family must be about the Father's business? This church family is about the Father's business. Not other, but you know, a lot of churches, they deal in some pretty weird business nowadays. But are we about the Father's business? And that's seeking and saving the lost and teaching the gospel. Is my family at my home, are we about the Father's business? Are we about continually serving God and being active in our study and growing daily? Are we more worried about our business or God's business? Or do we take care of our needs and wants and then give the leftovers to God? Or are we constantly giving God the attention and respect He deserves? You know, last week we talked about our new beginning and what a wonderful transformation we can make from the old person of sin to the new person that's living a life for God. But once we make that transformation, we need to continue growing. And we always hear things like we need to be like Jesus. And we ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? How can I be more like Jesus? Well, Jesus studied. And He learned, and He asked questions, and He wanted to grow, and He was about His Father's business. He wanted to share His faith. And not only that, but He felt compelled to do those things. And we have to have that same mindset and that same attitude. It's just like anything else we do. When I was little, I grew up wanting to play quarterback in high school. And I thought that since I had played street ball growing up, and I played with the kids in the neighborhood, and I had a decent arm, that that position would be given to me. And I'm looking here at a football coach and a football player here in the front row, and they're probably laughing on the inside because they know that they've probably seen people that played street ball and thought they were good come and try to perform on the field, and they're horrible. And I found that out very quickly, that I was not good, or as good as I thought I was. And I saw that when I got into high school and I was about to make my dream come true of playing quarterback in high school for a high school team, there was so much more to just playing on the street. I saw where I wanted to be and I had to work for it. And it took me 3 years to get the mechanics down, to do the weightlifting, to exercise, to eat right, to practice, the time. And eventually I got there. But you know what? I look at pictures of myself from my freshman year. And I was a scrawny little nothing that thought I could play with the big boys. And I look at myself by the time I left high school. And my brother admitted this to me only once. And he'll never admit that he said it again. He says, I was scared of you by the time you left high school because you got really big really fast. But it's because I worked. And the goal was eventually achieved. How many of us have set a goal in our faith? How many of us have set a goal in our faith that this is where we want to be? Sadly, what happens is when we realize that we're not as good as we thought we were, we don't know as much as we thought we knew, then we give up on our goal, we give up on our dreams, and we just stop growing. It would have been real easy for me as a freshman in high school to say, I'll never get to that level, so I'm just going to stop now. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, not that I've already attained or am perfected, but I press on. He says, I'm not perfect. I haven't obtained my goals. There's still things I need to work on. He says, so I press on. I keep going. Turn with me to 1 Peter in chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, start reading with me in verse 1. Says there, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. It's time you and I make a decision. It's time that you and I decide right now, once and for all, am I going to put aside the world? Am I going to put aside things like malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and evil speaking? Am I going to put the world aside and start right now growing in the Lord? And notice what he says there. He says, as newborn babes desire the milk, the pure milk of the Word. Which means when we decide to start taking this journey with Christ, it doesn't matter how old or how young we are, we start over. We start as newborn babes, but we need to desire to grow, desire that milk. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I would venture to say that the reason you're here today is because you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. And what happens when you taste something good? You want more. And when you eat something good, you want more. Your mouth starts watering, you start craving it. There's places, there's restaurants, I know they're good, and just thinking about them, I start getting hungry. And I start thinking about, you know, maybe that Chipotle in my belly and how good that's going to taste going down. Because I've tasted it before and I know it's good and I know I want it. How many of you have tasted the Lord and now you want more? And so you're going to keep eating. You're going to keep drinking the milk. And eventually, guess what? You're going to need a little bit more than just milk. He says, as newborn babes, you're going to need the milk. But the Hebrew writer says, you're eventually going to get to the meat. You're eventually going to get to more and you're going to continue growing. You're going to press on. We should want more of the Lord. At Jesus' baptism, as he comes out of the water, God says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Have you ever thought about what he's pleased about? I think for the past 30 years, 30 or so years, he's watched his Son grow from a baby to an adolescent to a teenager and finally to an adult that was finally ready to start the mission God had sent him there to do. All the while, Jesus was growing in wisdom and stature and spirit and favor with God and with man. And he knew that Jesus was finally at the point, and he's pleased in his Son because he has finally gotten to the point where he can take the torch and he can take the kingdom of God and he can take it to where it finally was meant to go. I think he was also pleased to know that this is just the beginning, that Jesus was just starting his ministry. Jesus was always about the Father's will.